This is the PMC Podcast with Kristen Brandt and Bill Alfano.
The Pan Mass Challenge, raising money for life-saving cancer research and treatment at Dana-Farber Cancer Institute. Now here's Kristen Brandt and Bill Alfano.
This is the PMC Podcast. I am Kristen Brandt here with my co-host, Bill Alfano. Hello, Bill.
I'm just going to go straight hello, Kristen. I'm not going to do
that. I like how you dressed up for me today with your college shirt.
I keep a couple extra ones in this room. So depending on who's on the call, that's what I put on.
What are we talking about today?
It's the body episode, Kristen. We have two really special guests. The first one is Jen Connell. She's the clinic manager, physical therapist over at Bay State Physical Therapy. And then this guy, Bob Vinson, who I'm just going to say he's a 30-year massage crew volunteer. And we'll let people hear who he really is in his makeup.
Let him tell his story.
Yeah. I mean, just two really incredible people committed to the PMC, talking about massage as part of training, prehab, stretching, which is your favorite thing.
My favorite.
And just talking about what to do leading up to, you know, a big event, big athletic event like the PMC, during as well as after. It's a really worthwhile episode for athletes.
Of course, now all I can imagine is that guy from the 70s in that, like, muscle. Remember, he had the one-piece muscle suit that showed all the muscles?
Of course.
Body episode. This is the body episode.
The body
all right,
episode.
Let's take a break and come back with our interviews. We are here with Jen Connell from Bay State Physical Therapy in Kingston. Thank you for joining us today, Jen.
Yes, thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here.
So we're going to be talking about prehab and athletes, but before we get into that, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and about Bay State Physical Therapy?
Sure. Yes. So I am a physical therapist. I graduated from Quinnipiac University, and I was lucky enough, I got a job right out of college with Bay State. So I work down on the South Shore of Massachusetts. I'm in the Kingston Clinic. I've been with the company for about 7 years, and I've been a clinic manager at the Kingston Clinic for the last 3 years. So I am very fortunate to say I love what I do as a PT. I get to work with great people every single day. I love making the connections with my patients that I do. There's no greater feeling than watching someone achieve their goals and helping them get there after all their hard work. So it's really, really cool. And I love that Bay State got to be a part of the Pan Mass Challenge as well, because I think there's definitely a common goal there. You know, both healthcare providers and goal of the Pan Mass Challenge is really a greater cause, and that's to help other people. So it's been really cool to be a part of this.
That's awesome. And I assume Bay State Physical Therapy does all types of physical therapy, but do you have specialties, things that you work on specifically?
Yeah. So fortunately, all therapists are really trained in a variety of body parts, and we can really all treat everything. I do treat a lot of orthopedic cases. I also treat a lot of pediatrics cases in Kingston. We have some PTs that specialize in aquatic therapy. We have some PTs that do more vestibular, so like concussions or dizziness, that type of thing. But for the most part, we all each have a good variety of a bunch of different issues, which is cool to see.
Right. And you have volunteered at some of the rest stops helping with massage. What has been your experience with the PMC? Kind of what's your history?
Yeah, so it's been awesome to be a part of the Pan Mass. So Bay State's been a sponsor with the Pan Mass for the past few years. This is our third year doing it. Last year was our first year with riders, and we got to raise some money there. And more, you know, our bigger stance with the Pan Mass is that we support the rest stops and the medical tents along the way. So Bay State last year, between clinical and our marketing team, we had about 30 volunteers throughout the rest stops and the water stops. So I was at the Dighton Rehoboth stop, which is also the lunch stop. So it is one of the busier stops, obviously, because most of the riders are stopping.
Right.
Which was awesome. We were on the go from the time we got there to the time we left. And it was just a really incredible thing to experience. It was very uplifting. It was, you know, a day just filled of positivity and hope. And I think my favorite part was honestly getting to interact with all the different riders. You know, everyone has a story to tell. Everyone has some kind of connection. And just watching the effects that it has on them was really, really cool. So we were stationed at the medical tent at Dighton Rehoboth. That, like I said, that was my first year volunteering. So we really just provided anything that the riders needed. We did stretching, we did a little bit of massage, we did some taping, And we kind of just helped troubleshoot any issues they were having and just support them along the way.
First of all, thank you for volunteering as a person. But the Bay State story is crazy, Kristen. So I get a phone call a couple of years back from this woman, Erin Doherty, and she's like, hey, I'm with Bay State Physical Therapy, and we'd love to get involved with the Pan Mass Challenge and maybe sponsor, maybe send you some people. I have no idea what that means, you know. And so I reach out to BJ, who heads up all of our medical, and I'm like, BJ, do you need? And she's like, yeah, we would love physical therapists along the route, especially at these, you know, big time water stops, lunch stops. You know, we have massage in places, but we don't have PT in many places, even if it is stretching massage. You know, Jen said, you know, sometimes just to kind of troubleshoot what's going on. This thing turns into, I think the first year it was 25 PTs, a number of locations, a pretty good size cash commitment. And from that point, it's really just gotten even bigger. And they, you know, they sponsor the medical tents, they're involved in the winter cycle. And then, you know, they do have all the spots during PMC weekend. And the reason I bring that up isn't really as a sponsor stroke as much as it sounds like it. It's really just incredible because they saw the Pan Mass audience as, I think, a group of people who, you know, need PT, right? And then once they got involved in it, they really, really got involved in it. And it's really remarkable. So Jen, I'll give you all the thanks for Bay State Physical Therapy.
Absolutely. Carry it back.
Yeah, you guys hit it out of the park on every level. Well, sponsorship, rider, volunteer.
I can say, if I can add to that, Jen, I'm a fifth year rider. So last year I knew about the massage, obviously, at the end of day one. But day two, I was having a rough time. My shoulder was really bothering me. And so I hit every single medical tent on Cape
That's
Cod.
Awesome.
And they were fantastic. You know, they, I definitely smelled like my grandfather by the end. But, you know, I would sit down. Immediately somebody was there helping me with my pain points, applying, because I was like, right there, right there. You know, So if I can just add a personal thanks, because
that's awesome.
It honestly is why
that's great
I
to hear.
Got, it's why I got to the end on day two, because I definitely was having that much pain, which I think brings us to why we're talking today.
Oh, I was going to say, and that's a wrap. Thank you, Jen. Thanks for coming on today.
Perfect.
So, just kind of prehab and preparing for events like this, because I do think that one of the reasons I was having some pain on day two was I was not, I'll confess, year four. I'm like, yeah, no problem. I've done this before. I may not have planned as much as I should have. What is prehab, and what is the role it plays for athletes getting ready for an event like PMC?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think exactly what you said. I think a lot of riders, especially new riders, their big focus is let's get the miles in. Miles, miles, miles. Got to get the distance. And obviously that's hugely important because you do want to be able to get to the end. But I think building a strong base, which is really what the prehab is. Prehab is really just kind of a fancy term for strength and conditioning. And yes, you want to get the miles in, but you want to make sure you're working the body as a whole. So giving yourself a good base, a good strength program is really important. Physical therapy in general can really help add to that. The biggest role I would say of a PT is to really provide an individualized program for someone. So I think the key there is the individualized part. We want to really tailor a program to help that individual. So it helps just finding areas of weakness or finding areas of restrictions that may either potentially lead to an injury or, you know, just maybe limit your goal that you want to reach. And it's a good way just to get that strength going. Prehab usually involves some cross training. It usually involves some strengthening and conditioning. I think, you know, right now, unfortunately, it's uncertain times and not everyone has access to the gyms that they're used to. But I think a really important thing to learn, and this is something that we can help you with, is knowing that there's a lot of exercises to do that you don't need fancy equipment to do. You can kind of be doing at home. You can do just with your own body weight. Bay State's also going to be putting therapy bands in the rider registration bags that I believe are going out in July.
That is right.
Cool.
So that's also just like an added benefit. There's so many exercises you can do with a resistance band, and it just seems really low key and low tech, and it is. But that's the beauty of it too, in that you can really build yourself a good program.
Do you think that there is a lot of pressure or a lot of? I mean, I'm all for the gym. good gym is great. But do you think sometimes we forget that the easiest way to work on our strength is to just use this, what God gave us, right? Our own body weight, that we don't actually have to be lots of big.
Yeah, I think that. And I think, you know, no fault of anyone's. I just think a lot of people don't know how to do that. So they're used to having, a gym equipment that will show you exactly what to do. And there's so many exercises that you can do without any equipment at all. A lot of, usually the injuries I see for long distance riders are either some neck and shoulder, kind of like you touched upon, Kristen, and also some knee issues. So really giving yourself a good program of postural exercises, which involve like your upper back and your shoulders, as mm-hmm. hip strengthening, some core strengthening exercises. And there's, like I said, there's a variety that can be done right in your own home too.
Yeah, and is there, so prehab, again, with the term, I'm hearing it's everything from strength and stretching all the way to surgery. Is that right? Does that cover like the whole area of what prehab could be for people?
Yeah. So, I mean, obviously our goal is usually to prevent surgery for you the best.
Right.
Plan, but sometimes that inevitable
That's
happens.
That's my favorite. Yeah.
The stronger you go into a surgery, the better your outcome is going to be. So it's definitely a new and evolving area where people are coming to us as PTs prior to surgery. And they're basically looking to get into the best shape they can, you know, given their circumstances, so that the recovery on the other end of it is a little bit easier for them.
Yeah,
total knees, I would say, are probably one of our bigger areas where we prehab. And I think a huge part of the prehab where, yes, it's obviously extremely beneficial to get the strengthening, to give you a better outcome, but surgery can also be really scary.
Sure.
And just building that relationship with someone before you go in and knowing that person is going to be with you on the other end of it really cuts down on a lot of stress levels. And it's good from a PT standpoint too. You kind of already built that rapport. So when you do have to go in and do the, you know, the things that maybe aren't so pleasant post-surgery,
right,
you already have a relationship with them.
Like, I hate that woman. I just do painful things.
Yeah, exactly. It is funny. I think my mom hated and loved her PT at the same time.
Yeah, that's fair. We get that often.
Right. Well, I was going to say, do you also see maybe a growth in understanding that prehab can help prevent or at least delay surgery, that, you know, using your own muscles to strengthen can like keep things in place that maybe weren't?
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I think a big part of the prehab is that exactly what you said, the preventative care. So there are so many things that can be prevented surgery wise with a good strength, not everything, but you can prevent some surgeries with a good strength and conditioning program. And it's more so, you know, a lot of times you just have some muscle imbalance. And just really working to kind of balance you out from a strength standpoint can help stabilize, can help give you more motion. And a lot of times, if you can get your pain under control, which is what is a big part of it, then that can hopefully prevent something that down the line from you.
Can we talk about stretching too? Because, so I'm a cyclist, my husband's a cyclist, we know lots of cyclists. We're very not stretchy.
Yes, that's what no one likes to stretch.
Nobody likes to stretch.
Nobody likes to stretch.
Do I stretch before?
Like, yes, that's the big question. It's a very debated question, and it still is this day. It's a great question.
So what's the answer?
Right, this is like groundbreaking right now. Like, and the answer is?
I'm like Barbara Walters.
Yes. So I see both standpoints on it. I usually say that with a little bit of a warm-up, I think stretching is good to do on both ends, both before and after. You usually don't want to go into a stretch cold. So if you have a little bit of a warm up, you can do more of a dynamic stretch. And then after you get off the bike, you know, hamstrings are usually a big one. Calves are usually a really big one. The other thing after long distance rides, a lot of people have neck tightness and neck soreness. So just stretching the upper traps are also usually a good thing. There's two.
People are missing out on the visuals between the two of you during this whole interview so far. It's really great. It's great.
Jen is doing neck
stretches. Kristen's pointing to parts of her body that hurt when she rides.
I
don't want to get off of stretching or strengthening, but this does kind of lead to the telemed question.
Yes.
I feel like we have that going on. We should. Right. Kristen's elbow hurts. Yeah.
I just got off a telehealth call right before this. So yeah. So with everything going on with, unfortunately, COVID-19 changing things for everyone, we were very fortunate that Bay State was on top of it from the very beginning, and we got telehealth pushed through within the first weeks that the state shut down. So we were really fortunate with that, and it was really great for our patients. So telehealth basically is using a video platform just like this, and we use it to connect with our patients. So we're able to do initial evaluations on telehealth. We're also able to just walk patients through different exercises. And I've had an unbelievable great experience from it. I've had a lot of great feedback from patients with telehealth. So I think a lot of it is, one, we can continue care during the pandemic. And two, a lot of patients, especially the elderly population who really aren't comfortable traveling right now or, you know, being in contact with anyone, it's their biggest source of communication with the healthcare world and for, you know, in the world in general. So I've had a lot of really grateful patients just loving the experience of telehealth. So it is definitely an option for anyone that's not 100% sure if they're comfortable venturing out just yet.
I was going to ask that question. So you are able to take new patients as
yes,
well?
Yes. Yeah. So great. We are seeing patients in clinic and it's slowly starting to increase, which is awesome. I mean, we are taking an abundance of caution right now. So as healthcare providers, sure, following all CDC guidelines, we're masking up, we're screening patients. So we're treating in a very safe environment.
Sure. I was referring to that telehealth component. You could see a new patient that way also.
We can.
It doesn't have to just be an existing person that you've worked on already.
Yeah, no, I've done two or three initial evals over telehealth. And wow, it's the patients, like I said, they're just so grateful for the opportunity to do it that they're very, very happy with it. So it's been very successful for us.
I was going to say, I have a friend who shattered her elbow right before this all happened. By the way, just standing in her kitchen. So if you think you can do it on your bike, you can do it just standing in the kitchen.
Thanks.
Yeah, no, I was, you know, anyway. The point is, she took her first, she said, I was like, oh, I have to get off because I have my physical therapy appointment in a minute, you know. And it definitely, I think for her, and it's not an age thing or a risk thing, it just was, she didn't have to drive anywhere.
Right. Yep.
Right? She didn't have to even work that into her schedule. She's like, oh, got to do it right now.
The convenience factor is huge. I've had patients on telehealth with me and they're like, oh, I don't care. When you go back to clinic,
So. I was going to say, do you see telehealth being something that Bay State continues to incorporate that, we don't go back?
Yeah. I mean, I think it's a great opportunity. And unfortunately, we just have no idea what, you know, the future holds within the next couple of months. So we'll definitely be continuing to incorporate it. And like I said, we'll kind of continue to do it as long as the need is there and long as patients want it. Like I said, I've had a lot of patients continue to request the telehealth. So
my understanding is that most health insurance are covering telehealth now. And that was a big change, right? From even just 2 months ago.
Yes. So the governor did mandate that insurance covers telehealth. However,
welcome to Massachusetts.
We have gotten a variety of answers with that. So for the most part, it's covered. We are just encouraging our patients to call their health insurance company.
Or call Governor Baker directly at
6-7-8-9.
They'll be like, I heard on the PMC podcast that it's covered by
Jen
insurance.
Jen said.
Kristen and Jen were
they
totally
won't,
sure
won't go over
it.
Well.
Yeah, but we heard with Dana-Farber, Kristen and I spoke to some people there about how the uptick in obviously telehealth is astronomical. And it's same reaction though, from the doctors to the therapist, people are finding it's working. People are getting the treatment they need. They're getting the procedures they need. So it's good that people aren't just a cold halt on all the work they've done and then having to pick it up hopefully 3, 4, 5 months later.
Yeah. And like I said, and unfortunately with the times, you know, life doesn't stop, although it's changed a lot and it's allowed us just to help people through things that are still going on, even though, you know, a pandemic is also happening. So
I could not imagine a person coming through PT, you know, say it's a 5 month process and being 2 to 3 months in and working so hard and all of a sudden this hitting.
Yes.
And if they had to have just stopped, and the thought of having to start over for something out of their control would be devastating, I think, mentally. So the fact that it can continue through telehealth it's got to be awesome, even just for the mental side of people.
And I think that's a big part of it. Like you said, is the mental aspect, just having that communication, even, you know, unfortunately, even some doctor's offices are closing down or were closed down.
Sure.
So just having that connection with the healthcare world, anyone in the healthcare world, I think puts people at ease. And fortunately, we've been able to do that for them. So it's been really successful for us.
So what's the first step if a rider feels like they do need some support, they got some achy things, they've got, you know, they want to start thinking about how to prepare, you know, they're getting out riding now and they're realizing that something's not clicking. What's the first step?
Or is clicking,
more to the point.
Yeah.
There you go.
What's the first step?
Like, yeah, so that's a great question. The first, well, so Bay State has some clinics throughout Massachusetts, and we're branching into Rhode Island and New Hampshire, and we are offering free screening to any PanMass Challenge rider. So I definitely encourage people to take advantage of that. Sometimes it's just a matter of just getting a little advice, you know, pointing someone in the right direction. But if it is a matter of getting a little bit of more formal PT, we can also help guide you in that direction as well. And we can set you up with some formal physical therapy appointments, whether it be in clinic or, you know, using our online telehealth as an option too.
So I know there's nothing that a therapist loves more than a really vague example or a generalization. So if I was to ask you, is there one thing that you seem to see over and over with cyclists that as a therapist, if you can shake every cyclist to get them to do one thing differently or right before or right after, is there such a thing?
That's tough. That's a tough one.
Of course it is. Of course it is.
Thank you for that one.
Yeah.
Nice setup. Honestly,
I think it's everyone has different things going on. And I think that's, you know, the real importance of PT is being able to kind of identify everyone's different limitations.
Right.
I would say overall, I have seen the most upper body issues. I think riders, and like, you know, I would as well think, you know, I got to get those legs strong, I got to get the miles in. But when you're on the bike, you don't realize how much upper body strength right. you really need. So I think that's been a big key. I think it's more so it's just overlooked in the beginning. So they're not realizing the issue until they're a little bit further into their training and they're starting to feel those aches.
Riders are super skinny at the top and super strong on the bottom.
Exactly what it is.
Yeah, absolutely. That core and that upper body. And that's when, I mean, I know that in part my shoulder pain is because I don't do enough to upper build up those muscles.
There's tons you can do.
All right. Well, if people want to find out more about Bay State Physical Therapy, they can go to the PMC website. There will be, as you said, we've got some new tools coming out. There's going to be a gift in our gift bag. So excited about that.
Awesome.
And
Jen ruined the surprise, but it's a good one.
Sorry.
I know. I just got an email. It was like, you're going to get this, and other goodies. Now I'm going to start cobbling
there
together.
You go.
Bam. But I want to thank you so much for coming on.
Yeah,
and
thank
please
you, Jen.
Thank your whole team for everything that you do for riders, because you got me to Provincetown last year.
Awesome. No, we're happy to hear that. We're very grateful to be part of the PanMass, and Bay State really looks forward to be able to support the riders and the cause the whole way.
Thank you, Jen.
Absolutely. Thank you.
The PMC podcast is supported by Sundance Sports Marketing, putting your ideas into action at sundancesports.com.
All right, we are joined by Bob Vinson, who has been volunteering on the PMC massage crew for over 30 years.
Wow.
Let me say, as a rider, thank you so much for your service, because it really is fundamental on day one to get that massage.
You're welcome.
All right, well, before we talk about your PMC story and also massage in general, why don't you give us a little bit of your background?
I've been doing muscular therapy for the past 30 years now, and I do a special kind of work called structural integration. I focus on the fascia more than the muscle. But prior to that, what brought me to the PMC was I was teaching at the Muscular Therapy Institute, and we got a call from Meredith and said, oh, we need some body workers here, and she explained with Cindy what they were doing. My first experience going there was I brought 6 students and 2 faculty. And there were 5 PTs, OTs, using foam pads on the ground. And we brought our tables after about 5 hours in the sun, outside, no shade. After about 5 hours of that, Meredith said to me, your people are still working. In fact, they're dancing. And my people are all exhausted and dead. I said, well, it's sports massage. It's how we learn. It's a rhythm we use. So that began the work with PMC. And like I say, it's gone for 30. But prior to that, in the 60s, I was a helicopter pilot in Vietnam.
Wow.
1967 through 69 to 70. And then after that, I worked in the mental health and retardation field in the state of Massachusetts for the state. And then I was the executive director of Merrimack Valley Goodwill Industries for 5 years. Then I had a back injury, and I was suggested I get surgery. And my sister-in-law at the time talked me out of it and said, go see this body worker, a friend of mine, she can help you. And I saw her friend Julie twice a week for 6 weeks. I never got that surgery.
Wow.
I have issues with my back now and then, but that I just changed my whole idea of what I wanted to do with my life and then went into body work.
Okay, let me start by saying I feel like I haven't done much in my life just now. I feel good. So let's talk about that, because you're really not talking about massage. You're using the term body work, which I think is really interesting. I will admit, I've always come to massage from the standpoint of a luxury, right? Like a thing I do when I go on vacation and I go to the spa. But what is the role of massage and body work for athletes?
I try to promote it in the sense of pre-event, before a race, you do a certain type of body work. You have inter-event, like for you at the end of day one, before day two, you come in and probably your shoulders are bothering you, your neck is bothering you. You'll have some discomfort, but the person working with you may decide to work on your quads and your hamstrings first and then work on the front of your shoulders, not the back where the pain is. Because where the pain is, it ain't. Sometimes that's very true, even though we've worked so many times with bicyclists and they're hunched over the handlebars and bending down, bending low, they're shortening the front line. So our work is like, open that up and let the person breathe better, move better. And then the shoulders can relax, drop them down. So on the table, we only have 15 minutes. There's a lot to do in 15 minutes, but over the years, we have patterns that we've learned to do, and we can get it all done. We can get it all done in that time.
Tell me a little bit about the pre-event.
Okay, the pre-event massage focus is generally a little deeper than anything else you'd get, say, post-event or inter-event. It's deeper work, and it's to create range of motion in whatever muscle groups that they're going to be using in their event. Bicyclists, certainly the legs and the hips, swimmers, the shoulders. So you focus on a different area, but you get deeper and you do a lot of stretching, helping the person, assisted stretching, not something that they're going to do on their own, but they're doing it with you. So they're resisting the movement. The pre-event massage, generally for people I work with, it's at least an hour of deep work, ending with the stretching. That's very, the post-event would be lighter, gentler work and even more stretching, but not as deeply as you would on the pre-event. Pre-event is getting you ready, getting you charged up, getting the blood into the muscles in a systemic way, that is work through the body, looking at the use of the muscles, but also the blood flow itself.
Had a magic wand and could make every PMC rider have a pre-event massage, at least one.
Yes.
When is there a perfect timing for that? Is it the day before, the week before?
Definitely not the day before.
Right.
Pre-event massage, you want to give it, I would say 1 to 2 weeks prior to the event is best. Absolutely. If you did a month ahead of time, you're going to get back into habits. So 1 to 2 weeks ahead of time would be perfect.
When you're selecting a masseuse, right? Like you have someone, and the cool thing is the PMC website does have a whole list of all the body workers and masseuses that volunteer. Are you looking for people that specialize in working with athletes that kind of know what our concerns are versus, like, are there different specialties with massage?
Yes, there are. There's some people that do just relaxing massage. Okay. And again, that's great. I do one of those probably.
I'm on board.
Yes, me too. I'm lucky. I can do trades with people, and I have two or three different people that I trade with.
That's great.
And sometimes it's the really deep myofascial work, elbows and knuckles, open it up, you know. Other times it's, okay, Bob, we're going to put you to sleep for the next 45 minutes and just relax and let it go. So there's a big difference between, you know, the basic massage. Let's say someone going to a school, could be 500, 700. Our program was 1,200 hours, the program of training. Okay. So we learned to do the gentle, soft work, but also the very deep work too. Some schools focus on the relaxing massage, and that's great. So I would check before I went to someone, what kind of work do you do?
Right.
Or what can my expectation be?
And there's difference, you know, again, I'll admit, you know, my massage experience has been, you know, you're on vacation somewhere and you go to the spa at the hotel and you might get a relaxing massage. But Is there something when you're talking about using massage as training to having a relationship where you're working with the same person through the course? So you're doing the pre-massage with them, you're doing the post-massage with them, you're working with them on your training plan so they know what's happening?
That's the best, that's the ideal, would be to have someone okay. You develop a relationship emotionally as well as physically.
It's really intimate if you think about it. Like you're like, no, don't mind me, is. I'm just going to take all my clothes off. Here I am.
But it is, it's important to have those boundaries and allow someone to let go. And sometimes letting go could be very physical. Sometimes it could be more emotional and involved a little bit of a yell. And I have some people that I say, let it go. Just you're working, my elbow's going down the hamstrings. It's like, okay, can you feel that? Yes!
Bob, how big is the massage crew currently? How many massage therapists were part of the 2019 PMC massage crew?
We had more than 150.
Wow. Therapists. And how many massages was that roughly?
3,000.
That is incredible. Yeah. That is incredible.
And I will say, you know, I've done the massages. It's no longer a bunch of people kneeling on the ground. You guys have a really tight system of coming in. You've got all the tables set up. I did notice that so I think it was last year, I lucked into a table that had two people, which is like yes. magic. And I think, was one of them a student? I don't know. I was like, do whatever.
Usually when you had two people, one was a student. The Northeastern University PT program, Maureen brings a large group of students there as part of their wellness, you know, class. She thinks it's a great experience. And so they double up. But if I'm by myself on my table and I needed a break, I could go to that double table and say, can you spot me in my table? Boom, it happens. So I can take my lunch or I can take my break. So that's a benefit to having the extra people.
You don't sound like a guy that takes a lot of breaks, though, Bob. When you gave your bio, I bet you don't take too many. I wanted to talk a little, and I know it's so interesting to me. Kristen and I have talked about it offline as well. The oncology massages that are provided during PMC weekend, but in general, can you talk a little bit about that?
Yes, there are two people. I want to put out their names now. Nancy Newton and Cindy Gillen have organized this program as part of, you know, the PMC. We have probably, I think, more than 20 practitioners this year. And those are for people who are survivors or people who are actually still in active treatment. And you need to work very gently and know where to stay away from, depending on what the cancer was, what kind of treatment they had. Nancy and Cindy have a wonderful crew, and they have their own special areas. They came in the door, we isolated them so they could, and they could have people come right directly to them. If they weren't sure, they could come and ask a question. I'm having this type of treatment. Can I get this type of massage? Sometimes my work, the deep work, would be not really a good idea at all for some of these people who are in sure. treatment. So I need to know that. But these women, they do great training in that area. And that's, you won't find that in many other events where you'll find people dedicated to that work.
Yeah, that really is incredible.
I was going to say, back to the volunteer, to the students also, I assume, and, you know, you talked about, like, there's some specialties with oncology massage. This must be a really great way for the students to see a whole variation on how athletes ache and how, you know what I'm saying? Because, like, fit can be so much of it. What works for one may not work for another athlete. How to talk to different, I mean, if you're seeing different athletes every 15 minutes, you got a lot of personalities coming through.
Well, we have early in the day when once we get organized and get set up, we do some orientation sessions. Gordon Pilato is one of the guys, one of the teachers, and he'll demonstrate these techniques. If you have this coming up, this is what you can do over a period of, you know, 5 to 10 minutes, how to handle that. And we do that with all the therapists, even people who've been there, like I have, it's been 30 years. It's still something to learn. There is a lot to learn from other people's experience. And people come from different schools, and some of those teachers will demonstrate something that they've learned to the whole group.
So it sounds like you guys have a whole community that's building up. You know, I know as riders, I feel like PMC so much is about the community, but it almost sounds like that you have a community within a community of the body workers as you connect to each other each year.
Absolutely. And for some of us, it continues during the year, still making contact and still checking in. I've had, since the pandemic has started, I've had 3 or 4 people contact me about starting back, and they've all been people that I've met through the PMC.
Yeah, that is a resource on the site. We'll make sure we put a link in the show notes if people want to check out our amazing PMC massage therapist, body worker volunteers. So we'll make sure we include that.
Oh, thank you.
Then,
of course. I wonder, do you have an estimate of how many PMC riders you've given massages to?
Let's say if we do 4 an hour, I put in 6 to 8 hours, 32 times 30. So it's been over 1,000.
Wow. I have a feeling you have a lot of repeat customers, though.
Oh, I do. I have built my practice through the PMC. I mean, again, I graduated in 91 from the Muscular Therapy Institute. I was working the PMC that year. It was my first year. I have one client I know. I've had her for 28 years. I've been seeing her.
Wow.
I talked to her this morning. Wow. Tell her we were doing this. But I probably have a third of my practice has come through the PMC over the years. Easily.
Good. Good.
That's
deserve
awesome.
It.
It's wonderful.
So that's a good transition, I think, to the third phase of the massage, because we talked about pre, we talked about mid, and now post, right? Like, so
post
the rides
event.
Are yeah. over. How does massage change? How does body work change when it's someone who's coming off of a big ride or a race?
Again, you don't start back deeply. You start back with a
be gentle,
a moderate pressure, and work slowly. And again, ask the question, what does this feel like? Move something and say, how does that feel? You need to have a relationship with this person back and forth. It happens
right.
even, I want to go back to the massage at the PMC. You only have 15 minutes.
Right.
So much needs to get covered. And we always talk to the incoming people, say, first thing to do is introduce yourself. Hi, I'm Bob. Then find out what their name is. Second,
yeah.
I tell them, ask them, how many PMCs have you ridden? It could be anywhere from 1, you know, to 40. And then why do you ride? Well, you ask that question, you have now a relationship with this person.
Yeah.
They're not just a body on the table getting a rub down. You have a relationship.
Right.
You've shared something. It works for so many people. Over a period of time, it develops into a relationship with them outside of the PMC.
So over 1,000 PMC massages, you yourself, do you, story or two, maybe hilarious, maybe tragic, anything that just you think about when you think of your experience at the PMC, Bob, in the massage crew?
One of the stories I love just telling in the past 3 years. 3 years ago, I rode. I was 70 years old. I decided to ride the 2-day, and my friend Gordon joined me, Gordon Pilat. And at the end of the first day, I mean, I trained pretty well. Gordon and I got our massages. We were sitting out in the field getting the sun. And I said, he said, this is boring. I said, yeah. So we went in and decided after doing 110 miles that we're going to go back to work. So I got my table. There's a table there for me. And I started working. And as things were slowing down, a woman came to my table. And I asked her the same questions. You know, I didn't say I had ridden today. I did not say that. I just asked her, this is my first PMC. I said, well, congratulations. How do you feel? He says, just, I'm tired and I'm achy, but I feel great. And I said, why do you ride? She says, my mother was a survivor and I owe it to the Dana Farber and I want to do more. So we worked a little bit. The bell goes, the 2-minute warning comes up. And they said, 2 minutes. And she says, oh, I wish I could stay longer. And I just whispered to her, your wish has been granted. And I kept working. So one of the people who rang the bell came over, everything okay? Because he thought something was wrong. I said, everything's fine. And I worked for another 10 minutes. She was tearful. She says, you're not getting in trouble, are you? And I said, no. And again, I didn't say anything about this is my job or that. I just felt a connection. And I can say that happens probably every year. There are people that you connect that way with, that you hear their story. And the body work is important, but it's also connected to the story, why they're there, what's motivating them, and what do they want from you. Sometimes someone will say, I want just my legs worked on.
Right.
I need to honor that, even though I think your shoulders really need it.
I believe you should always trust the expert.
Yeah.
The expert tells me that my legs hurt, but my shoulders need it. You just do you, man. Like, I'm on.
Bob, I got to tell you, I've been with the PMC now over 8 years, and it is awesome to get to meet you. I wish it was in person. But man, you are an inspirational, wonderful guy. I can't thank you enough for your commitment to the PMC and your service to the country. Man, we have a special guy in massage. It's crazy.
Well, thank you. I hope my goal right now is 2 years from now, I'll be 75. I want to ride it one more time.
That's my fantastic.
If I get my flat tire fixed today.
Well, Bob, thank you so much to reinforce what Bill said. Thank you for your service as a rider. Thank you for your massages. We will have a list up on the PMC website of all the massage, the body workers who volunteer, and we definitely recommend you go check them out and find someone local that you can work with.
Bob, thank you very much.
Thank you, Bill. Thank you, Kristen.
All right, we're back. One thing we didn't talk about that I think a lot of us who are working from home are suffering from: bad ergonomics.
Yes.
As we work at our kitchen tables. Yes. And how badly I need a massage.
Yeah, both. I'm with you on both things.
Right, everything is creaky. No, I as I said during the interview, I too often, I will admit, think of massage as more of a luxury, like sure. A thing you do because you're on a cruise, you're on vacation, and my first year of the PMC, I did go to one of the volunteers. She sure. was in Natick and really started to think about it more as part of my training, part of my training and my recovery. So it was great to talk to them.
Yeah, they were great.
With that, we're going to wrap up this episode. For show notes, links to the masseuses, to information about prehab and post-massage, you can visit pmc.org/podcast.
Yeah, and if you like the episode, we ask you to share it with at least 3 friends. Leave us a comment. Post it on social media. You can find it. Well, obviously, you found it already, but you can find it and share it from anywhere you get your podcasts. And remember, there's a lot riding on us.
There is a lot riding on us. Thanks for listening.